Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the phenomenon of sexting and an analysis of the role of women in the Anthony Weiner affair, who have been portrayed as victims when it is clear they are active participants in what our first guest, Susan Jacoby, calls a coarse and creepy internet culture dedicated to male and female desires for virtual carnal knowledge. She is the author of The Last Men on Top and has an article in Wednesday's New York Times, Weiner's Women. Then we'll examine today's declassification of secret NSA surveillance programs following the leaks by Edward Snowden. Former counsel to Senator Russ Feingold, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Elizabeth Goitein, the co-director of the Liberty and Justice Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, joins us to discuss the incremental assault on our civil liberties since 9/11 and her article at the Christian Science Monitor, The Danger of American Apathy on NSA Surveillance. Then finally, we will discuss President Obama's grand bargain to revive the economy and the report just out from the Dallas Fed, How Bad Was It? The Costs and Consequences of the 2008 Financial Crisis, which conservatively estimates the damage at $14 trillion, the equivalent of 1 year's U.S. GDP. The author of Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the Present, Jeff Madrick, joins us. He contributes regularly to the New York Review of Books and writes a column on economics for Harper's. And joining us now is Susan Jacoby, who's an author of 10 books, including Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism, and The Age of American Unreason. Her most recent e-book is The Last Men on Top, and she has an article in Wednesday's New York Times, Weiner's Women, which examines Anthony Weiner's sexting scandal and the women who participate in that coarse and creepy internet culture. Welcome to Background Briefing, Susan Jacoby.
Hi, good to be here with you.
And Susan, tell me it's not true that in the 21st century we are so bereft of human interaction that we have to invent avatars in order to have virtual sex?
Well, not everyone. First of all, I should say this really, although that was the headline, this really wasn't an essay about Anthony Weiner's women. It's about the whole phenomenon with which Anthony Weiner represents. This is, of course, a big political story in New York. But apart from the fact that Anthony Weiner is who he is, he's running for mayor of New York, there are huge numbers of men and huge numbers of women. We don't know whether it's hundreds of thousands or millions who participate in these activities every day, which is virtual sex on the internet. And I think one of the reasons this has been the narrative of this, it's a great narrative for the media, the national media, is that this is a powerful man abusing his power who doesn't respect women. Well, I'm sure he doesn't respect women, but that's not the point about this whole thing. There are women who participate in this, too. This is not something that men do to women. The internet is something which, if I got a picture of Anthony Weiner's penis on my computer, I would delete it and block any further things. The fact is that there are huge numbers of people in this country, men and women, who are so lonely and just have such a low opinion of themselves that this is what they do. You know, I said in the piece, I said, virtual sex is to sex as virtual food is to food. You can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, and it requires no work. And there is a significant part of our culture, we don't know how large, but it is a significant number of people who do this all the time. And I think that's a whole larger social story, bigger than Anthony Weiner, that's just been ignored by the media.
So when you say in your article, Susan Jacoby, that 20th century feminism always linked the social progress of women with an expanding sense of self-worth, what are you saying about contemporary women, particularly young women who, of course, are, you know, you often see young people sitting at restaurants, all four of them are sitting at a table staring at their palms on their iPhones?
Well, I don't think they're sexting. I think that they're taking pictures of their food, which is which is another trend. You send pictures of your food in restaurants to people. But I don't think that this is it's just a matter of younger people doing this and older people not. I suspect we would be surprised at how many outwardly respectable married people, men and women, who are not politicians, so nobody is going to tell on them, are doing this kind of thing. And I think there are many ways for women in which it's a lot safer if you want to have sex play on the internet. Well, it's a lot safer than picking up strangers in bars and going home with them. But there is nothing good about this, and it was never anything. The idea, I have no nostalgia for the double standard of the 1950s when I grew up, in which women were supposed to be the gatekeepers of sexual propriety. But this is just a sad and empty thing for both women and men. I think it's an example, again, of something that's a larger phenomenon even than sex. But in some ways, the internet, which is supposed to bring people together, brings them farther apart. I think that this kind of virtual sex is exactly like what we all know. And again, it's not just young people. I think it's what we all know, the substituting of texting and emailing and Twitter for face-to-face time with friends, in which these brief sort of off-the-cuff exchanges substitute for real friendship. Well, I think virtual sex is the same way. It substitutes for real sex, which requires a lot more energy and time and involvement. And that's sad. And I think the media has missed the big story here because they're so fixated on it being one politician who does it.
Again, I'm speaking with Susan Jacoby, the author of 10 books, including Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism, and The Age of American Unreason. Her most recent e-book is The Last Men on Top, and she has an article in Wednesday's New York Times, Weiner's Women, which examines Anthony Weiner's sexting scandal and the women who participate in that coarse and creepy internet culture. So, but is this just an extension of how young people, for example, are into gaming? Many young kids spend most of their waking hours, apart from school, creating and involving themselves and living in this virtual world with virtual money and characters, etc. And they don't have the human contact that you're talking about. They're not with their friends. They're alone in their rooms with their computers. And so I suppose in a way it's not surprising that when these kids grow up, they would graduate to virtual sex.
You know, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I've written about this a lot. I don't think the substitution of virtual reality for reality, I think those kids would be doing a lot better being out playing baseball outdoors than sitting looking at video games. But I don't want to sound like, and I don't believe it, that computers are a demonic thing. They are one element in a kind of loneliness and alienation and a sort of breakdown of all kinds of social institutions. You know, dating and courtship were one of those social institutions. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying I have any nostalgia for the kind of double standard of sexual morality I was brought up with, but it is really upsetting to see this replaced by a double standard. Almost all of the media reports on Weiner have just presented this as an abuse of power by a rogue male, as if women were not equal participants in this kind of thing. It's not like the mayor of San Diego sexually harassing women in his office, women who needed to do business with him. All you have to do when somebody makes an approach to you on the internet is cut them off and block them. There are women who like to do this. And I think, you know, I think that upsets, particularly, it's not, both women and men have just sort of ignored this aspect of it, that it takes two to tangle. Now, of course, we don't know that all of the people that Anthony Weiner or anybody else on the Internet is sexting with and exchanging pictures with really is a woman. I'm waiting for the first gay man to come forward and say, hey, Anthony Weiner didn't know it, but he was sexting with me. Because this is the sort of poverty of virtual sex. Is the truth is, you don't really know who it is. It has nothing to do with an individual. It is like that classic New Yorker cartoon saying, you know, on the Internet, no one knows you're a dog. You don't know who you're talking to. It's just a kind of instant gratification with nothing involved, including any actual knowledge. These people could be anybody. They could be 12-year-old boys or 84-year-old men.
Right. Well, but I guess, you know, you're there in New York and this extraordinary character who seems to be tone deaf to reality, Anthony Weiner, is still running for mayor of New York. I'm out here in Hollywood, and I tell you, if you wrote a screenplay where the people, the characters were having virtual sex, and one was called Carlos Danger and the other Sidney Leathers, they would think that was over the top. But
well, Sidney Leathers is apparently a real name. But
exactly.
But I really object. I also think in a way, it shows that in some ways we're still programmed, in spite of feminism, to think man bad, woman good, man aggressor, woman victim. That is absolutely not true of virtual sex.
Right.
So I think we need to be thinking about, you know, what kind of a society we are in general and how we've substituted the easy, effortless ways of the Internet in the most intimate areas of human relations.
Sure.
For real things, whether it's friendship or love or sex or education or anything else. There is a very serious issue here beyond politics, beyond Anthony Weiner, which, as usual, the mainstream media has missed. Because, of
right.
course,
well,
it's a great, funny story.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for joining us here, Susan Jacoby. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Susan Jacoby, the author of 10 books, including Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism, and The Age of American Unreason. Her most recent e-book is Last Men on Top, and she has an article in Wednesday's New York Times, Weiner's Women. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the danger of American apathy on NSA surveillance.
At last, my heart's an open door, and my secret love's no secret anymore.